Amen. Thank you, Sister Gail, for a great special honoring our veterans. Yesterday was Veterans Day, and we mentioned that a little bit last week, but be amiss if we didn't again today. And what a beautiful special to honor our veterans. And I appreciate what Gail said, and she just left, but what Gail said about heroes. We unfortunately have a generation or multiple generations that have lost sight of what a hero really is. And let me tell you what, all of my grandbabies are in church this morning right here. That's special too. Back to heroes. Amen. There's five of them, two of them back there. All right. One of them contemplating coming up here, I think. Anyway, we talk about heroes. And Gail's right. Folk, I think we don't realize to the fullest extent what a hero is. All you little guys, young and old alike, I want to show you some real live heroes, all right? I want everybody that's a veteran in this building to stand this morning. All you veterans. I had you do this later. Come on, stand up, guys. All right. There's four heroes right there, guys. Guys, we appreciate you. Thank you so much. Thank you for serving your country. Thank you for serving us. We have some others in our church, but you four, I appreciate you so much and for what you've done for us this morning. On a personal note, just real quickly, all right, I promise you won't take long. The greatest hero I ever knew, without exception, you say, well, maybe, but no, the greatest hero I ever knew, almost 73 years ago, December 19th, 1944, was captured by the German Army in the Battle of the Bulge, as he was serving in Belgium. He was a 19-year-old kid. And he was the oldest kid in the group. He was about 6 weeks before his 20th birthday. Served the final several months of World War II in a German prisoner of war camp, and suffered emotionally and physically from that the rest of his life. And one thing that makes me think of him is that 27 years ago today, my dad passed away. And, you know, the Lord, he's going to be with the Lord. It's all right with him, all right? But I'm telling you what, I still miss him and always will, obviously, and such. But let me tell you what, let us not ever, ever, ever forget those that have provided what we have today. And let us never forget those that are out there on the front lines of service today, those that are serving our nation. When they serve our nation, remember my motto of that, when they serve our nation, they're serving you and me, okay? And that's what they're doing today. And let's be sure and remember them and thank them. You see these veterans, you saw these four fellas stand this morning, you be sure and let them know before the day's over you appreciate what they've done for us. Brother Ron was sharing, and he has before. Came back from France in the early 60s, there in the midst of the Vietnam War, mid-60s and such, and he got off a plane and in the East Coast, dressed in his uniform, carrying his duffel bag, coming back from having spent a year overseas, and the Vietnam War protesters are there at the airport, and they spit on him as he walks through the airport. Folks, there's a hero. I'm telling you for sure. I appreciate you guys, and I appreciate what we celebrate and do again, and be sure and remember those that are serving today. I always, as I do funerals at the National Cemetery, I always make special comments about the fact that we're there because of the service of that person or their wife and whatever and everything such as that. But I never fail to recognize those two young men or those three or four or five young men that are there standing at the end of the casket about to fold that flag because they're there for us today. Remember our veterans, and thank you for a great special there, Sister Gail, and a great service this morning. And I'm glad again this morning that you're here. Be a part of our service. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Deuteronomy over in the front of your Bible. It's the fifth book of the Bible, the last of the books of the law, as they are called, sometimes called the Pentateuch. Deuteronomy. You know, it's again, on a personal note, I mentioned that all my grandbabies are here today. Here's six of them and the little one back there in the corner and such. All my kids are here. Doesn't get any better than that for a pastor, let me tell you, all right? Indeed. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. The book of Deuteronomy is a final discourse by Moses, the great man of God, that was used to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage and across the desert and the wilderness through their journey there and get them back over to the edge of the promised land. And we know that Joshua became the new leader because Moses is about to die, and Moses dies before they get there, but he gets to see the promised land, and Joshua takes over after that. We're studying about that on Wednesday night. As a matter of fact, if you'll come and be with us on Wednesday night, the whole book of Deuteronomy is Moses giving a final discourse to a basic new generation of people. At the time, 40 years before this occurred, the children of Israel had rebelled against God, and they had unfortunately not placed their faith in God, and so they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They did this burying the dead, because everybody at the beginning of that 40 years, everybody above the age of 20 died over the next 40 years. And so it was a terrible time for the children of Israel. As they get ready to cross over into the promised land, we come to the book of Deuteronomy, and Moses gives them a refresher course, so to speak, in the law of God as given to Moses. It's most often commonly called the law of Moses. And that's what we find in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, even though the law particularly was not given specifically to Gentiles, folk, all of the principles and the precepts of the law apply to us today. They apply to mankind, all right? I'll assure you, if we would better adhere to the law, we'd be a much, much better society and such. Now, remember, the Ten Commandments are not all of the law. That's just a very brief summary that you get, an outline of the law over in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, and such. But those principles and those precepts we need today. Now, I'm not going to look at the law today. I'm not going to look at all of the law. Obviously, you couldn't do that in a year's time. But what I want us to look at today is what Moses commanded the people of Israel as they were about to go into their new homeland. That was new to them. It was not new to Israel proper, because God had given it back to them in Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12, many, many, many long years ago before that. And so today I want us to listen to the commandments for Canaan. Here's what you do to get back into the Canaan land. Here's what you need to do to get ready to go into Canaan and be prosperous and to be find the things that you need. Read with me, if you would, Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach to you." This is Moses addressing the children of Israel. All right? Let's apply it to New Testament Christians today. Very basic teachings here. "This is that which your God commanded to teach to you, that we might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that you might fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that your days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, O Christian, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised you, in the land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart." Heavenly Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your blessings and your goodness and your watchful care. Thank you, Lord God, today for what we have in Christ. I thank you for those that have come to be a part of this service. Rebuke Satan. Clear every distraction from our hearts and minds today. Let us be open to your word today. Lord, grant me preaching grace. Thank you for that privilege. Lord, I thank you for our veterans today, what we celebrate in Veterans Day. I thank you for what we celebrate in Thanksgiving today. And God, we're going to praise you for it. We're going to praise you for it all, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Moses, speaking to the people of Israel, speaking to us through the divine inspiration of the Word of God, gives us, first of all, the instruction and the encouragement to do what he tells us to do, and he shows us some of the reward that we will receive from that. Now, folks, listen. Let us never, ever love and serve God just for what we can get from it. Let us love God because he first loved us. But folks, listen. God is so gracious and good, so generous and so loving, that there are many, many innumerable great benefits of serving him and following him. And God will bless you for following him. And he tells us just a little bit about that very thing in these first two or three verses here. Notice he tells us what it is that we should do and such as that. We'll get to that in just a moment and everything. But he says that he's told us this, that thy days may be prolonged. Well, God will bless the lives of those that love him and serve him and follow him. Now, that's not a blanket statement of fact that if you serve the Lord, you're going to live a long, long, good life. I know of great Christian people that have died early in life. But in a general sense, God will bless his people to live a prolonged life. He goes on and say, and not only that, but thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and such as that. And he talks about how everything, it will go well with thee. It will go well with thee. I say this, and I know it almost sounds redundant. I say this all the time, and the people that are here all the time know this. Folks, listen, it pays to serve God. It pays to serve the Lord. It pays to be faithful to him. It pays to keep him first and foremost in our life. And so God has promised us all of these things. He's promised the children of Israel that land flowing with milk and honey. Folks, today we think about Thanksgiving. We think about Veterans Day. We think about where we live today. Folk, I'm telling you, by the blessing of God, we live in the most prosperous, the most secure, the safest, the greatest nation in this world today. Now, folk, listen, we've got a lot of problems. We have a lot of problems in our old country today. Some of them break my heart, and some of them make me angry. We have a lot of things going on in the political system and in society in general. I believe we are turning and have turned our back upon God. I believe we're going to reap the unfortunate consequences of that. But, folk, I'd still rather be right here this morning than anywhere else in this whole world today, all right? You know, you say, Brother Sid, I'll take you, I'll pay the way. Let's go to Syria this morning. Not me. You know, Afghanistan. No, I'm not going to those places. I don't even want to go to Europe. I don't want to go. I want to stay home because I'm safe and secure here. Yes, not like we have been, but I think we are. Folks, listen, God promised that as a blessing of those that will serve him. We have had that, and we have it so much today because of these veterans and so many others today. But we have that because of the blessings of God that we have today. And so as we see these things, God promised the people of Israel and us today, if we will serve him, that he will bless and he will provide and he will take care of us. He also, what he's doing is he's preparing these folks. Folks, you get things right before you go into that new homeland, and when you get there, everything's going to work out well. And that's what we can find today. And then we come to the fact of a declaration of just absolute fact. And this is where I really want to take the meat of the message this morning. Is found right here with this. Look in verse 4 and verse 5. In verse 4 and verse 5, first things first. Hear, O Israel, hear. Not only listen and let it be taken in the sense of hearing it. You know, you can hear things and not pay any attention to it whatsoever. You can hear things and in disregard it in just a matter of minute. You can hear something and it just, you know, as we still saying, go in one ear and out the other. You can do that. That's not what this word means. The word hear means to not only hear it, but take it in. Take it in and soak it in. Make it a part of what you hear. Make it a part of your life. Make it a part of your heart and your mind. Take it in and embrace it. Take it in and make it something that means something to you. Take it in and contemplate it. Take it in and hear this morning, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. Children of God today, we need to hear this morning the Word of God. We need to hear. Well, Prophet Jeremiah said one time in a statement very similar to this, as he cried out to Israel, and he said just very simply, oh, he said, hear, O earth, hear, hear, O earth. I'm telling you, we need today a world that will listen to God. We need a world and a society in our nation and our cities today that will listen to the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. I can't preach to the whole world, so I want you this morning to hear the Word of God. I want you to take it in and embrace it this morning. We've got to stand firm without wavering on this very fact that we are told in the book of Deuteronomy. And here it is as to what we must do. We must hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Folk, I'm telling you, most of the, and this has been true throughout history, but most of the upheaval and the political strife that is going on in the world today, will, if you'll look down and you'll find the basis of it, it's based upon religion. And the various views and ideas and the conflicts that are carried on, especially in the Middle East, so much of that is religious-based. Folk, listen today. There are a lot of different groups out there that claim to worship this one and that one and this and that and what have you. Folk, let me tell you today, and I hope I'm not telling anybody anything you don't already know. There is one true living God, and He is the God of our salvation today. He is the God of Israel and Abraham. He is the God of the Father of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior today. Folk, there is one, and there is only one true and living God, and it is Him that we must serve this morning. It is Him that we must follow this morning. It is Him that we must know as our personal Savior this morning. Folk, I ask you as a congregation and each and every one of you individually, if you were to die today, do you know you would go to heaven? If you can't answer that with an absolute affirmative, yes, I know I would go to heaven because I have accepted Christ as my personal Savior, then today you need to accept Christ as your personal Savior. The most important decision you will ever make is coming to know Christ as your personal Savior. Folk, I'm telling you this morning, let us know that the Lord our God is one Lord. Our God the Father, our God the Son, our God the Holy Spirit, He is one. He is one in all and all in one, and He is the one and the only. There is no other, and we can find that repeated throughout the Scriptures time after time after time after time. Read over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 44, verse 8, 45, 22, 46, 9. Read over in the book of Mark, chapter 20, chapter 12, verse 29. Folk, it repeats this over and over. The Bible is explicit. There is only one true and living God, and He is the God of our salvation this morning. He is the God that we have come together to worship this morning. He is the God that that gave His life for us on the cross. He is the God that sent His Son. He is the resurrected God who came forth from the grave on the third day. He is the God that sits upon the right hand of the Father today, making intercession on our behalf. He is the God that is coming again to take us to be with Him. He is the God that is going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years. He is the God that is going to usher us into the eternal ages, where we will sit at His feet as He sits upon the throne, and we will eternally praise, worship, and serve Him. That is the God of all gods this morning. Folk, He is the one and the only. And what is our responsibility toward Him? I love this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Folk, I'm telling you what our responsibility is this morning. It is to love God. Love God. Now, within that love, there are a lot of things entailed, all right? We'll look at some of those in just a second. But, folk, we got to love God. And folk, I'm telling you what, you want to see that theme repeated, look through the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 10, verse 12, chapter 11, verse 1, chapter 13, verse 22, chapter 19, verse 9, chapter 30, verse 6, chapter 16, verse 20. You want to hear Jesus make this very same exact statement as he quotes the Old Testament? By the way, Jesus quoted the book of Deuteronomy more than he quoted any other book in the Bible. So we see it. Jesus tells us exactly the same thing in Matthew chapter 22. And Mark records it in Mark chapter 28. Folk, we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might, with all of our being, with everything that we've got. We ought to love God. We must love God and demonstrate our love to Him. Remember this about love, and it's a wonderful thing, folk. I'm telling you what, you don't want to live in a world without love. That's what hell's going to be. Love is a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing to be loved. It is equally as grand to love. And in order to be loved, we must love. Folk, how in the world can we grasp this morning the love that God demonstrated to us in its fullness? I don't believe that we can. But God the Father loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then we must realize that God loved us so much that He left as the Son of God, the splendors of heaven, came into this earth, lived a short life of rejection and ridicule and all kinds of harassment and difficulties, and finally a horrible execution of death on the cross of Calvary. But He loved us so much, He was willing to do that. He loved us so much that He came from the dead and gave us the hope of eternal life. He loved us so much that He promised He'd go and prepare a place for us. He loved us so much that He promised if He'd go to prepare that place, He'd come again to take us to be with Him. Oh my goodness, how grand and glorious it would be if the Lord were to come today. Folk, I'm telling you, the next great event in the plan and purpose of God, I believe, is the rapture. And I'm ready for it today. I'm telling you, we're going to, in just a very few minutes, we're going to have a tremendous feast back here. We're going to celebrate what we have to be thankful for. We're going to have a great time of fellowship together and everything. If the Lord wants to come back before that happens, it's okay with me. Somebody else can have it. Because the feast that He has prepared for us is far better. Folk, that is the love that God showed us. Therefore, because of, let us love Him because He first loved us, and let us love Him to what extent? With all of our heart. You think, well, that's everything. It is. With all of our soul. Is that not just everything again? It is. And with all of our might. I'm telling you, we need to love God with all of our very being, and we need to do it with all of our fervor and all of the excitement and all of the might and all of the strength and all of the everything that we could ever come up with. Folks, we've got to love God and love Him first. And as we do that, we must be a thankful people. Now, He gives us great responsibility to do with all of that as we go on in life and you go on and read in this chapter. And one of the responsibilities that we have to do as we love the Lord because He loved us, as we are thankful today for His love, there are things that we must do with this as we love Him. And one that I want to just speak of that I think is so very, very important is found in verse 7. It's beyond what we read in our text. Moses tells the people of Israel, and he says, "And you shall teach them being the precepts, the principles of the law, the things that He has taught us, the things that we are learning this morning, the things that we find in the Bible, the things that are God's and godly things." Those things, that's them, all right? "We shall teach them diligently unto your children." Folk, I'm telling you today, our responsibility on loving God is that we must share His love for us to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. One of the great tragedies of today, I believe, is that we have failed in this. We have generation coming up, and maybe more than one, that are not as well versed in God's Word as they ought to be. They're not as haven't been as well taught as they should have been in this. Now, folk, listen. Let's just get real down close to home, all right? Over in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul tells us fathers to teach our children, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Folk, listen. Teaching and sharing the Word of God must begin at home, all right? I want you to come to church every time we have the doors open. And we're going to study together. We're going to preach the Word. We're going to teach the Word. We're going to take it in. We're going to study it. I want you to come to Sunday school. If you're not coming to Sunday school, come an hour earlier. You'll get something from it. We got to do that. But folk, listen. A Sunday school teacher in a 20-minute class can't teach our babies all they need to know about God. All right? We've got to teach them and train them and bring them up in that nurture and admonition of the Lord. We have to share this with the next generation and the next generation. And folk, as grandparents, we still have a responsibility for as many generations as we see in our family. We've got to do that. Folk, this morning, Moses, God, and Moses wanted the children of Israel, as they got back into their homeland, back where they where God wanted them. They've been out of it for 470 years at this time. God wants them back there, but He wants them prepared when they get there. He wants them to get in there with the right perspective. He wants them to get in there with the right conviction. He wants them to get back home where they can get off on the right foot. And how do we do that? We love our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might, all of our being, with everything that we've got. We love God above everybody else. We love Him first and we love Him foremost. And folk, now listen. We can love God above everybody else and still have that proper love for spouses and children and grandchildren and siblings and parents and friends. Folk, I tell you what, you love God first and foremost, all the rest of that will take care of itself, I promise you. Every time. It will do that. Folk, this morning, we need to love God with everything we've got. Too many times we have people who claim to be Christians, and maybe they are in the sense that they've been born again, they've been saved, but they don't demonstrate much love. They don't offer much time to God. They don't have much communication with God. Talked about that last week. They're just not close. They may have that relationship, but they don't have that fellowship we talked about last week. Folks, listen to me today. We need to get back to the basics and love God. And that takes care of all the rest. And that's what God is telling us in this passage of Scripture. He tells us to be sure that we do this. Oh, we need to go today into all that we do. We need to go today into everything that we do in our career, in our homes, in our families, in our worship, in our church. And we need to do it because we love God. You say, well, the children of Israel are about to undertake something new and exciting. New and big and great. You know what? We are too. If the Lord doesn't come back, what we're going to face that is new and hopefully a great thing for you and something that is the next step in life, what we face is tomorrow. If the Lord doesn't come, folk, listen. Let's face tomorrow with the love of God in our heart. Loving God because it is. Showing God how we think of Him and what we do for Him. We're coming into the Thanksgiving season, and this is not truly a Thanksgiving message. We'll do that next week. But folks, listen. We have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. Let me go ahead and say this, and to you that'll be back next week, and I know we have a lot of visitors, and I'm proud for you, so I want them to get it too, all right? And you folks here all the time, you'll get it again next week, all right? It won't hurt. I challenge you with this every year at Thanksgiving, all right? Two things I want you to do. Sometime get alone, just you and God. Get you a piece of paper even and write it down. And you get you two columns, and over here you write down the problem of life. Times are hard, whatever. Write down a blessing. Over here, write down another difficulty in life, something that you're struggling with. Over here, write down a blessing. Over here, write down something that's a burden to you right now. And over here, write down a blessing. And you just go as ask God to open your mind that you can think of things. And you say, my goodness, my list of heartaches and trials are going to be long. If you'll be honest and humble, I promise you, the list of blessings will go on and on and on after this one has run out. All right? After you do that, you get along with God. And your Thanksgiving Day or sometime very in the proximity of that sometime, you get along with God and you offer to God a prayer of thanksgiving. Don't ask Him for anything. Don't ask Him for anything. Now, again, if you're going to be humble and honest, give yourself plenty of time. And you thank God for everything you can think of that is a blessing to you. Those little things. Home, family, love, laughter, precious people in your life. The little things, your job. See, you don't work where I work. Yeah, you could be unemployed. Thank God for your life, for all of those things. Thank God for the blessings that He has bestowed upon us. And folks, you take that time to say that prayer where you don't do anything but thank God for your blessings. And folks, let me tell you what. Let it just bring you humbly to your knees before God. And above everything else, you thank God for loving us, for sending His Son, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and for everything we have in Him. Thank God this morning.